Good evening, church family. Appreciate Austin and all who have served us tonight, served us this morning. It's been a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Open with me to Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. You see the text on the screen behind me there, Exodus 16, verses 1 through 8. We're going through the book of Exodus on Sunday evenings. And I think it is always amazing to see just how much Exodus applies to our lives. I hope that you've been encouraged by that and challenged by that sometimes. How Israel's story really is our story in a lot of ways. How we have been freed from bondage. How we have passed through the water to become free people. And unfortunately, today we're going to look at how sin is not just something that happens pre-conversion, but it's something that we deal with, even though we are God's people. So we're going to look at some of those themes tonight. I want to start with this, though. What are some ways that you personally deal with stress? What are some ways that when you have a particularly difficult day, when there is something going on in your life that is stressful, there are ways that you deal with that, aren't there? Maybe you're someone that internalizes that and you just feel anxious about stuff, or maybe there's some outlet that you have to deal with the different anxieties of life. After a particularly stressful day, and sometimes for no reason at all, I'll confess to you, Elena and I like going to Brahms to get ice cream. That is how we deal with the stresses of this life. I know it's not Andy's. We had Brahms in the town that we grew up in. So that is where we like to go. She gets cappuccino chunky chocolate and I get mint chocolate chip. She gets one scoop, I get two scoops for those really hard days sometimes. It is with great excitement that we order our favorite flavors and just lick the worries away. You can just feel them dissipating. But as satisfying as the ice cream is, and boy, it's satisfying. Sometime after finishing it, I not only feel the stress of life coming back, but now I feel guilty that I had now eaten ice cream along with the stress that I had previously had. In other words, it really didn't solve anything, but it sort of pushed my worries back just a little bit further. It distracted me momentarily. It might not be ice cream for you, maybe it is. But I imagine that you have ways of dealing with stress and coping with life. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's working longer hours at work. Maybe it's turning on the radio to your favorite station. Maybe it's going on Amazon or going to the mall and just buying things that just makes you feel a little bit better about what you have going on. But I think as human beings, we all look for ways to make life just a little bit easier for us. As human beings, we look for ways to make things easier, that we can feel better about our particular circumstance, feel better about the particular thing that is stressing us out. Now notice, these things aren't inherently bad, right? Ice cream's a good thing, isn't it? But they can be And God definitely wants us to take time taking care of ourselves and resting and all of those different things. But I wonder if you can relate to our ice cream habit, that the feelings of uncertainty tend to creep back in, the stress comes back, and we end up back where we started in the first place. There is a sense in which stress is just a part of life. There will always be things to do. There will always be things to accomplish. But I wonder if our levels of stress and anxiety and our lack of peace could sometimes be the result of a deeper issue, maybe a spiritual issue. As we look at the text, we're going to encounter some Israelites who thought they were hungry, and I'll give them that they probably were very hungry, but could it be that there was a deeper problem going on? Could it be that they were trying to satisfy physical needs, spiritual needs by physical means? We'll find out together in Exodus 16, verses 1 through 8. It says, they sent out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I might test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but it is against the Lord." We'll stop there for a moment. We have seen in weeks past how God has set Israel free from Egypt, and last week we really zoned in on the very beautiful poetic song that Israel sang after they had passed through the sea and been set free finally at last in Exodus 15. But like all of us, maybe you can relate, we tend to forget the ways that God has delivered in our past, and when that happens, we tend to grumble. We grumble when we forget. In fact, you probably picked up on the grumbling more than anything in this passage. As I was studying this week, I underlined every time that this passage talked about grumbling. As I'm looking down at my Bible here, I have several times that grumbling is mentioned. It had been 1 month since Israel departed from Egypt, and they found themselves in the wilderness of Sin, S-I-N. In, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the English word sin. While in the wilderness, their provisions from Egypt eventually ran out, and their singing in chapter 15 went to grumbling very, very quickly. They had forgotten the ways that the Lord had delivered them. They remembered Egypt fondly in verse 3, saying how they just wished that they could be back in slavery when they had it so, so good in Egypt. That's quite dramatic, isn't it? I think we can relate when we remember past circumstances in much better terms than they actually were. Oftentimes, the good old days, as we like to call them, weren't probably as good as we would like to remember them. But in God's grace, he promises to send them food despite their grumbling. Now, if you're familiar with sort of the Israelite story in the wilderness, you're probably going, "Wait a second. Why did God respond graciously here and give them the food that they were grumbling for? Isn't grumbling sort of a sinful thing? And doesn't God take his wrath out against those who grumble, especially the Israelites in the wilderness?" Yes, that is true. What's interesting is that here and in chapter 15, God deals very graciously with them despite this grumbling that's going on among the congregation. But later in Numbers 11, 14, and 16, God punishes them for this very thing. So what's going on here? Well, the only way that I can make sense of it is it seems like before the covenant between them and God is made, later in chapter 24, God is much more tolerant. But after they are in this covenant relationship together, the Lord holds them to a much higher standard. But regardless, their grumbling seems to be out of place. Their grumbling is out of place because it's demonstrating this lack of trust, this lack of submission to the Lord. They remembered how good they had it in Egypt, but they had forgotten the ways that God had delivered them time and time again just as little as a month before this. Look in verse 8, the last part of verse 8, what Moses says about this grumbling. He says, "What are we? Who are Moses and Aaron?" He says, "Your grumbling is not against Moses and Aaron. It's actually against the Lord." He says, "What can we do about your hunger? What can we do about your situation? We are not God. Therefore, when you grumble, it is not directed at mere human beings. Your grumbling is directed at none other than God Himself." I have no doubt that Israel was hungry at this particular moment. Their grumbling, though, wasn't merely a result of their hunger. Their grumbling was a result of a strained relationship with God. You're saying, well, how do we know that? Well, I think we know this because God ends up delivering on His promise to feed them. If you keep reading, we won't have time to do that tonight. But He expects them to abide by the guidelines that He lays out. They were only to gather a day's portion every day, except for on the sixth day when they would gather that double portion that would allow them to not gather on the Sabbath. Of course, several people stocked up and gathered extra, violating God's commands. As a result, the extra manna went bad as God tried to teach them a lesson about what it means to trust and what it means to submit to Him. So their problem wasn't merely a problem with hunger. There was a deeper thing going on. There was a deeper need underneath their hunger that the people had. It was a spiritual need. It almost seems as if they were trying to fix this spiritual problem that they had by physical means. And I think, as we're going to see, that never turns out very well. The same spiritual need the Israelites had is also illustrated by Jesus in John chapter 6. We read a little bit of that in our scripture reading tonight. Go ahead and flip over to John chapter 6. Both of these accounts have the same imagery of what humans really need and the bread that comes from God. It's a beautiful parallel passage in some ways. Now, in this passage, large crowds were following Jesus. This is not out of the ordinary. People had heard Jesus' teaching. But more than that, they had seen the miracles that He was doing. They had been fed by the bread and the fish that He was providing for them. They weren't following Him for the sake of eternal life or because of this teaching that He had, but because they were a fan of free food, right? And who can blame them for that? In the verses preceding this, He had just fed the 5,000 in miraculous fashion, basically fed this mass of people the size of Ozark or something. Because if you look at, it says 5,000 men that were fed. So with the women and children, could have been 15, maybe 20,000 people. It's truly, truly a miracle. And they wanted a taste of that food again. They basically tried to manipulate Him into giving them daily food until Jesus finally says in verses 33 to 35, "For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." Skip down to verses 48 to 51. He says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers," who we just read about in Exodus, "ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is My flesh." Don't miss out on this evening. Jesus says, listen, you think that mere physical bread will fix your problems. He says, but you really don't need physical bread to treat your spiritual problems. You need spiritual bread. He says, you need Me. He says, you can't treat spiritual problems with physical solutions. This was Israel's problem as well. They needed physical food, don't get me wrong. But the root problem underlying everything was a lack of trust and a lack of submission to God. More than anything, they needed to seek the Lord. More than anything, they needed to seek the thing that could truly satisfy them. Not the fleeting bread that would not last for very long. Brothers and sisters, I think this is our problem all too often. Physical bread is good. Physical bread helps us to live and thrive in this life. But sometimes we turn to physical bread and physical means thinking that it will sustain us, thinking that it will satisfy us, only to find out that we get hungry again. Physical bread is important, but Jesus wanted his audience to know that it can only take us so far. Israel's bread was important, but they mostly needed a right relationship with the one who could truly satisfy them. This is why all the ice cream in the world, all of the shopping, all of the working longer hours, all of the television shows, all of the social media will ultimately make us want more. It will leave us feeling like we're lacking. Oh, sure, it might satisfy for a moment, but at the end of the day, we will need something even more sustaining. Because the ice cream runs out. The newness of our stuff wears off. Jobs come to an end. TV shows get old. And the gratification of social media wears off after a few simple scrolls. These things are good, but it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't truly satisfy our spiritual longings. When we feel shaken by the world and without peace and uncertain of the circumstances in our lives, physical bread only takes us so far. And I know that if you are human and you are sitting here tonight, then you have stress and you have uncertainties and you have things that you're worried about. And if you're like me, and if you're like the Israelites, if you're like the folks that Jesus was preaching to in John 6, which I imagine that you're something like that, then you're probably turning to physical means to satisfy the need that only Jesus can give. Brothers and sisters, what we need is Jesus and surrendering to Him and cultivating intimacy, real intimacy with Him. Because He ultimately is the only thing and the only one who will truly satisfy every single one of our longings. Don't turn to physical bread any longer to fulfill the need that only Jesus Christ can provide. In the words of our Lord in John 6:27, let's not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Which who will give you? Who can give us this bread? Look at what he says. Which the Son of Man will give to you. I know that there are people in your lives tonight, if not yourself, but people who are in your lives who are looking for something that can satisfy their longing. They turn to alcohol to try to fill that void. They turn to maybe even something not inherently all that bad, like another person, like a marriage relationship or something like that, to truly feel satisfied and purposeful in this life. But all of these things end up lacking because nothing can fill our need like Jesus can. Maybe this evening you are lacking Him. You've never taken a bite of the bread that truly satisfies and that truly fills human hunger. You've tried all of the physical bread in the world only to find out that absolutely nothing satisfies you. You only get hungry again. You only need more and more and more of it. But maybe, and I imagine this is most of us this evening, you are a follower of Jesus, but you've forgotten how truly satisfying and filling His eternal bread really is. Maybe you'd like to get your life back on track tonight, as maybe we all should from time to time. This evening, if you have a need of absolutely any kind, we are here, as you hopefully know, to love you and to serve you in any capacity, in any way that we can. And we would love to hear about things that are going on in your life so that we could pray for you and lift you up as the body of Christ, something that the body is meant to do for its hurting members. If you'd like to become a part of the body and pass through the water as Israel did to be saved from your sins and be baptized into Christ, we love nothing more than seeing that. But whatever your need is this evening, we pray that you would make that known as we stand and sing.